Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:03 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Tuesday, May 12th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Jay Ham with you. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. They got their summer sale going on now. Even though it's still springtime, we know that summer's just around the corner, and they got great deals galore at Family Leisure. Speaking of summer, well, it'll feel like summer weather today for at least a while. Right now it doesn't. Crisp outside, cool, 52, but we're talking about 82 for a high, plenty of sunshine. In fact, sunshine the entire week into the weekend, although rain is in the forecast for early next week. I guess in due time could move into Sunday night. You never know how storms move, how fast they move, and then they slow down. But that's what Mother Nature says. It's going to be a great week, so certainly take advantage of it. We got a lot more to get to. We talked a lot of NBA playoffs and NBA draft at hour number one. But we open up hour number two, as we always do, with Humdinger's Trivia.
That's right. An opportunity for somebody out there to win a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's over at Poplar and Massey in the shopping center there. That's where you'll find Humdinger's. Of course, on Tuesdays, that means Taco Tuesday at Humdinger's with their chicken and fish tacos, $2 each. That's all day, every Tuesday, that you could take advantage of that great deal. Mondays, they've got a great deal on their Humdinger shrimp appetizer for just $5.99. That's all day long on Mondays. Fridays, their crispy fish and chips, just $9.99. That's the special on Fridays. If you go to humdingersrestaurant.com, you could check out their entire menu, from the great grilled fish options to the fantastic po' boy sandwiches and the piri piri burger, the tacos that I mentioned. All kinds of different options on that menu. Great sides, great toppings for those grilled fish options they've got over at Humdinger's. You can check them out, humdingersrestaurant.com. You can also get information about catering. If you've got an event you need catered, certainly a great choice is Humdinger's. Again, you can check them out, Poplar and Massey, and online at humdingersrestaurant.com. If you are the first to answer our trivia question correctly, well, then you'll win that $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. You could answer via text on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255, 360-8255. If you've won in the last 30 days, you're not eligible, and you only get one guess, so use it wisely. Here is today's question. The Grizzlies are one of a number of teams in the NBA who have never had the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Which NBA franchise has never had the first or second pick in the draft? There's one franchise who has never had the first or second pick in the draft. Which franchise is that? 360-8255, 360-8255. Which NBA franchise has never had either of the top two picks in the NBA draft? Couple of texts here on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Dwayne had texted in. He said, we know about the picks that we have as tradable assets, but do we have a trade exception as well? Yeah, Parker Fleming mentioned that from the Jaren Jackson Jr. trade. The Grizzlies have a massive trade exception of nearly $29 million. So, yes, they can use that as a way to facilitate trades, whether it be in the draft or helping out somewhere else, whatever. But yes, they have a massive, I believe that's the biggest trade exception that anybody has right now in the NBA. So that is a very valuable piece of, or very valuable asset to have in trying to facilitate trades.
Do you see what he was talking about, Parker Fleming, when he was on with us? Do you see the Grizzlies getting involved if there is the possibility of Giannis being dealt and maybe even a trade to Boston for Jaylen Brown. We heard what Jaylen Brown had to say after the Celtics were eliminated by the 76ers. Obviously, he's had a lot of success there. They've won a title there. He wants to be alpha man. And when Jason Tatum's in there, as good as Jaylen Brown is, all-star Jaylen Brown is beta man. He's not alpha man. Do you see, first of all, Giannis is going back and forth. We heard now he wants to stay and he's committed to Milwaukee, which he has been his entire career, and I salute him for that. Do you see him, though, in this situation with Shams reporting that the Bucks are open for business and Haslam wants to get that all figured out before the draft, that he is traded? Do you see it as a possible trade with Boston? And do you see the Grizzlies also with the possibility of getting involved in this trade, some blockbuster thing that could involve John Morant as well?
I mean, certainly it's always possible, because when you're trading a bunch of big salary guys and you're trying to trade a big salary guy like that, you could get involved in that trade. Again, the trade exception, all of that type stuff, it can be a possibility. Again, I think that I don't think anything. I mean, like, the reporting on the Bucks, like, the Bucks are still doing what they've been doing. They're trying to figure out whether they want to trade him or still try and improve the team enough to keep him. Again, from a Grizzlies perspective, my hope would be that the Bucks decide to go, we're trying to keep him, how can we improve our team? And they look at Ja Morant as that piece to put alongside him, and go that route. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. Whether that would satisfy Giannis or not, I have no idea.
Jay Hamm, I'll put you on the spot. One word answer, yes or no. Giannis Antetokounmpo will be with the Bucks next season.
No.
Jaylen Brown will be with the Celtics next season.
Yes.
Ja Morant will be with the Grizzlies next season.
No.
LeBron James will be playing again.
Yes.
Okay. Well done. Thank you.
Another texter says, the more I think about it, we need the bulk of Cam Boozer. We have a Caleb on our bench in Taylor Hendricks. True. I don't think we could compare him to Caleb Wilson. That's a little stretch.
What is it the last 2 days with the love for Taylor Hendricks? I'm still, the jury's still out for me with Taylor Hendricks. And the kid from Florida, remind me.
Walter Clayton.
Yeah, so soon I forget how great he was in college leading Florida to a natty. And when he was with the Grizzlies, again, not a large sample size, but I can go back to what he had shown in his rookie year at Utah. Didn't see much from him. But I'm not concerned so much with that. I'm concerned with Hendricks. Is he a valuable rotation big for the Grizzlies? I don't know. I don't know if he is.
Texter says, we still have Santi. I'm still going to get a backup five at number 32. At 16, I'd first call Milwaukee and see if we can get Rollins for the pick. If not, Christian Anderson or Cam Carr.
Is this the same guy who texted yesterday about Ryan Rollins? This guy, if this is the same guy, he loves Rollins, man.
Well, you're not getting Ryan Rollins for the 16th pick. Milwaukee doesn't want to trade Rollins. Like, why would they? Ryan Rollins averaged 17 points a game, shot over 40% from three, and he makes $4 million a year.
Unless they can get an upgrade for him, why would they?
Like, the whole thing was they wouldn't include him in the discussions last year for Ja. They were, like, not going to include Ryan Rollins. Like, it would be dumb for them to trade Ryan Rollins. He's one of the great bargains in the NBA. Like, they better – you would have to blow them away. The 16th pick for Ryan Rollins would be the dumbest trade in the history of basketball for the Milwaukee Bucks. We got a guy who we know can play in the NBA at a really high level. Give us the 16th pick and see if we can maybe find some guy who could play in the NBA.
Exactly. You know, like give me Hannes Steinbach and maybe hope that he can become a quality player like Rollins is. You're gambling. When you start getting into that position as deep as this draft is, you're still gambling. You're even gambling for the most part early, but I think there's more of a chance there's some surefire things because of the depth of this draft early in the draft. But when you start to get into the late teens and the 20s, you hope that you strike it rich.
Yeah, and again, he's they're like, you would be paying the 16th pick like the same amount of money
right
as you're paying Ryan Rollins,
right,
who you know is really good. So, like, I like if they're going to trade Ryan Rollins, it's going to be for to facilitate some massive deal where, like, they're not just going to trade Ryan Rollins to, for some hope that they're getting a player.
Which goes back to our discussion yesterday about who could be a trade partner with the Grizzlies if the Grizzlies were to move back into the top 10. And we started to talk about those teams that had those lottery picks from 7 to 10. And we mentioned Sacramento, and I don't know who it was. One of you two guys talked about, you know, why would you trade for Ja when you can get one of these guards and then you have them on a rookie deal? And who knows? They could be great. You still gamble with that pick, but you'd rather gamble and not have to spend the money by bringing in Ja in a trade and hoping that Ja can stay healthy and find what made him so special. I still think Ja's got something in the tank. Wherever he goes, you're going to see it for a while, but then I think it's proven that he can't stay healthy. And I think wherever he goes, you're going to see flashes of brilliance, and then he's going to get hurt. He's just one of those guys. There's guys that you know are going to get hurt pretty much. Anthony Davis, I know it was, what, two seasons ago when he stayed pretty much healthy. For the most part, he's hurt every year. Zion stayed pretty healthy last year. God bless him. He's been hurt every year he's been in the league. There are some guys they always get banged up. Unfortunately, you can count on that. So, and then, of course, the money that you would have to pay Ja. That's why he's so hard right now to trade. But if you get involved in a multi-team trade, and I don't know. It's that stuff's over my head, how complicated some of these trades can get.
Texter says, where can Omax fit in with the Grizzlies next season?
I think he's a rotation player.
I think the Grizzlies would like to have him back, certainly.
Yeah, he was a first-round selection of the Mavericks. They got him for a cup of coffee, and now I think he can easily be a rotation player. I liked what I saw from him. Did you?
He's fine. I don't think he's a – if you're good, I don't think he's necessarily a big rotation player, but
no,
he's a guy that can give you –
yes.
He's a guy that – having him around is not a bad thing. Having him as your 11th, 12th guy, I'm fine with that. Like he's – again, there's a reason he was a first-round pick.
Right.
He can – you know, he certainly can do some things, the athleticism, stuff like that. But I think that the Grizzlies would like to have him back.
I think so.
The Texas, I was only thinking that if Milwaukee was going to tear it down. But again, if you're tearing it down, Ryan Rollins is one of your pieces that you're building around going forward.
You got to keep something.
Again, the dude was like awesome this year. And again, he's cheap as hell. So like why if you were tearing – again, unless you're using him – to get rid, like to make some massive deal to unload stuff, like you just have to use him. But again, they weren't willing to do it for Ja, whatever. Like, I don't see why in the world Milwaukee would trade Ryan Rollins in any, unless if they're keeping Giannis, trying to win now, and they got a chance to get a superstar level player and it requires Ryan Rollins, that would be the only situation I would see him getting rid of him.
And I would never count that out with Giannis. Because one day Shams is talking about they're open to look at all these trade possibilities. I wouldn't be surprised 2 days from now Giannis says, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I love Milwaukee. And he has committed to Milwaukee up until this point.
But again, that's the thing. Nothing has changed. Like they have to get it figured out. They said they want to have it figured out in 6 weeks. So, yeah, right. They have to be taking calls right now. Like, okay, what are the possibilities if we're going to trade him? And what are the possibilities of moves we can make to keep him?
Right.
So all this is they're trying to figure it out, which is the best route, and they're trying to figure this out before the draft. So, yeah, they have to be taking calls right now because now is the time for them to figure this thing out with what they're going to do as far as he is concerned.
We mentioned earlier that the decision came down from league office yesterday that there'll be no additional punishment for Victor Wembanyama from his elbow that was a flagrant 2 and the ejection in game 4 between the Spurs and the Timberwolves, not even fined. Well, they kind of went crazy on ESPN with Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, and special guest Draymond Green. You know the quiet little guy, Draymond Green, remember him?
And those two don't even really like each other.
Well, nor does Kevin Hart and Cat Williams, but they got together for the roast of Kevin Hart. So, you know, I guess you can rekindle some things.
And, right.
All right, but anyway, this is Perkins saying he should be suspended for the game. There's certainly going to be a level of aggression, a level of physicality, but I'm 1,000% in with what Draymond said, and I'll get to that in a second. Victor Wembanyama should have been suspended for tonight's game. Real talk from Kendrick Perkins. And then Draymond Green said, as a guy that led the league in technical fouls, a guy that's been suspended, I got suspended for a slight headbutt. This man looked him in the eyes, lined him up, threw a malicious elbow, a vicious elbow. And you know what Commissioner Adam Silver said to the rest of the league? We prioritize stardom and views over the health of our players. This was the other way around, and this is the way around it, and Naz Reid would have took out Wemby. He would have been suspended for the day. You cannot do that. Okay, calling the kettle black. I mean, with Draymond Green saying anything about vicious this, vicious that, and he's probably not the one to talk. But I think there is some truth to the star power. I don't think we said it yesterday that Wemby shouldn't have been suspended, and he wasn't suspended. But if it was flipped and Naz Reid threw that vicious elbow and caught Wemby, well, if he threw the elbow, he probably caught him in the nads. But if he threw it in an upward motion and caught him in the throat and took him out, I don't know. Maybe they would suspend Naz Reid.
No, they would. And I can appreciate Perk for acknowledging that the stardom is in effect, but let's not act stupid. It is in effect. We don't want to watch a playoff game where players that should be on the floor are suspended.
Always has been in effect.
Them, if you're going to fine them, cool. But they need to be on the floor.
Yeah, he wasn't even fined, though.
Yeah, that part I'm like, yeah, they could have fined the man. But
and even though certainly San Antonio has good players outside of Wemby, but Wemby's the star. People want to see Wemby. And I think there's something to it. Star power's always been a part of it. Absolutely.
I mean, we grew up in the era where we watched Robert Parrish just two-piece Bill Laimbeer and didn't get ejected.
Right.
He had a $7,500 fine and no suspension, no ejection. So it's cool with us.
Yeah, I don't think guys should be suspended in the playoffs barring. And again, especially with the guy. And that's like for Draymond to compare. You can't compare anything to Draymond, because there's a prior history that always plays into
it.
Yeah, like you can't.
He has a rap sheet.
I mean, Wemby literally has nothing. The guy's done nothing. He's never been ejected. He's never done, and had never had anything.
As you mentioned, he don't even get upset.
No, he doesn't do anything. Like, he never even talks to officials. Like, he just plays. Like, so, like, for Draymond, I was suspended for this. Well, when you do it repeatedly, yes, you deserve suspensions more than guys who have a one-time thing. That's an obvious situation.
Well, I mean, to a point, but you got to take every incident and isolate it and then act on that one incident without looking at prior bias to what that person has done. Sure.
But you look at prior acts.
What's that?
Absolutely look at prior acts.
No, so to me, if that thing was, again, take the star power out of it, right? They're not going to throw out stars. They wouldn't throw out LeBron. They wouldn't throw out KD. They're just not getting thrown out. But let's say they did throw out stars. They didn't care about that. I mean,
they did throw him out.
Suspend is what I mean for the next game. You don't see that, right? Ejections, yes, you have to by letter of the law eject. Everybody knew he had to be ejected, except he didn't know the rule. He had to double check. I'm talking about then getting suspended for the next game. It's the playoffs, first of all. It's the star power. But if you didn't have that star power, right? You didn't have the star power. You have to look at that incident that happened and not judge it on Wemby's rap sheet. Oh, he has none, so we're going to be more lenient. He robs a bank. We're going to be more lenient. It's only the first time he robbed the bank. Draymond robbed the bank 10 times, so when he does it for the 11th time, we're not even going to look at the evidence that maybe he was, you know, he was forced into this or something. You can't do that. Even though I know
what?
You're that.
Do you not think this happens in the world of court? Like, prior acts, I guess, 100%. You do look at, if it's the 11th time you rob a bank versus the first time, you are treated differently.
No, but I think I think you should be treated on the incident that occurred, not on the past.
What you're saying is that if you're going to do that, you got to drop the hammer on the guy the first time to prevent it from going about the next time.
I think you penalize a person for what that penalty should be, no matter if they were an angel or a devil before.
I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to react to the act. And again, this was a vicious elbow, but we know in the NBA we have the star rule. And they're not going to throw him out for a game, especially a pivotal game five with the series even at two. I mean, you better believe that, well, with Ant-Man, maybe they don't mind Minnesota getting in there to play Oklahoma City and then lose to Oklahoma City. They'd rather see maybe Wemby and San Antonio lose to Oklahoma City.
Because even when you go back on the Draymond side of it, it's like, dude, you had like four or five incidents in that one playoff that before you got
suspended.
He's
the last guy you want to hear this from.
Right.
And then, of course, he went after Barkley the other day. See that?
And the thing, too, I also think, as I said yesterday, the fact that this happened early in the game, like he's – basically they cost them a game already because of his – ejection. I don't think you needed. If this had happened with 5 seconds to go in the game, in a game that was over,
he'd be out tonight.
Then I think you could suspend him for the next game and say, listen, like that, you didn't serve a penalty. There was nothing. The game was over, and all this did was you sat out 5 seconds or whatever. And so we're going to penalize you a game. With this, he's already been penalized a game, in my opinion.
I would be very interested to see if that was the situation, that he did this with in the final seconds of a game, if they would suspend him for the next game. Again, we just talked about the star power, or they would just levy a huge fine on him.
I think they would just fine him.
Yeah, I think so, too. James Gaddis Jewelers, second hour sponsor of Sports 56 Mornings, located at 4900 Poplar Avenue between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GaddisJewelers.com, right in the heart of East Memphis. They're your family's jeweler. They've been around for 60 years at 60. They are your bridal, engagement, and anniversary jeweler headquarters. So if you plan on popping the question later this spring, this summer, this fall, whatever the case may be, make sure James Gaddis Jewelers is one of the jewelers you check out for those beautiful diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, personally designed wedding sets. They have the natural earth diamonds and the lab-grown diamonds. They have a price point to suit everybody's budget. They are full-service jewelers with two bench jewelers ready to serve you. Look, you buy a necklace, bracelet, a ring, whatever the case may be from James Gaddis Jewelers. You need a cleaning. You need a resetting. Your size. Look, fingers get fatter. They get skinnier, right? Things may not fit. Head on into James Gaddis Jewelers. They'll take care of that for you. That's what they do. They back it with the lifetime guarantee of helping you out if you've got any kind of problems. That's why they're full-service jewelers. That's why there are so many repeat customers. James is a master jeweler, certified appraiser, diamondologist. He's graded by the Gemologist Institute of America. He has all the credentials you want in a jeweler. Yeah, you can go to the big box stores and talk to a clerk there that doesn't know diamonds from opals, from emeralds, from whatever. I mean, does not know the jewelry business. James Gaddis Jewelers knows it like the back of his hand. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. Saturday, 10 to 4. Closed on Sunday, James Gaddis Jewelers. We'll come back and we'll talk about Lane Kiffin. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, 8:30 here in the Family Leisure Studios. We do have a winner. We actually have a tiebreaker. We're going to need a tiebreaker, Jay, for our Humdinger's trivia. We had a couple of folks who came in at the same time with the correct answer. The question today was, which NBA franchise has never had the first or second pick in the NBA draft? The Grizzlies are one of a number of teams who have never had the first overall pick, but they have had the number two pick a couple of different times. But there is one team out there, one franchise, who has never had the first or second pick of the NBA draft. Do you know this?
I thought I did, but I was going against Denver, but I'm like, Mutombo went number one.
Lakers?
Magic went number one.
Yeah, but one or two. You said it has to be. Oh, it's one. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I misunderstood.
You are correct, by the way.
Oh.
It is the Denver Nuggets.
Really?
The Denver Nuggets have never had the first or second pick of the NBA draft.
I thought Mutombo went number one. I didn't even look it up.
Yeah.
Good job.
There's six teams that have never had number one.
Right.
It's Utah. A lot of people came with Utah. And it's not just counting this year that they had the number two pick. They've had the number two pick before. 1980, they had the number two pick. They took Daryl Griffith with the number two pick in 1980.
Dr. Duncanstein.
It's Utah, the Grizzlies, Indiana.
Yeah, the Pacers were there.
Actually, who are the other ones that don't have never had the number one pick? Obviously, Denver. I think there's six of them. I'm going to look that back up again.
Miami?
Yeah, Miami's one because they picked number two. Their tie-us was Michael Beasley. They took Michael Beasley.
The Thunder's one.
And the Thunder, yeah. That's it. That's the six that have never had number one. Denver is the only one of that group that has never had the number two pick of the draft as well. So we do have a tie between two people. So, Jay, here is your tiebreaker today. Pepperoni or sausage?
Wow, considering I hadn't eaten pork in over 25 years.
Wow.
Let's go pepperoni.
Pepperoni. All right. We will be contacting the winner and letting him know how to get your $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
You're missing the lead here. Guy from Memphis hasn't eaten pork in over 25 years.
Over 25 years, yeah.
That's hard to believe.
Beef brisket is the go-to. Pulled chicken, which I discovered that from Corky's.
You'd be better off in Texas with the beef barbecue.
Oh, I got some great brisket guys down in Memphis, though, so I'm good.
Wow. How about that? I didn't even know they made some good brisket here. You have to hook me up on that. But
oh, yeah,
man.
Cozy Corner is one of my favorite spots to go to for that. I like Central's brisket as well.
You know, I still haven't been to Cozy Corner. We keep talking about, like, we go out sometimes as friends, my friends, and we'll go out to lunch and pick different places. But was it the Cornish Hens? Is that what is big at Cozy Corner? Is it
barbecue in general?
Okay, I thought it was like Cornish Hens. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Have you had the brisket at Elwood's Shack?
No, but
the Philly brisket wrap. That's what I get every time. Like it's so awesome.
This might have to be a weekend deal. Yeah,
yeah, the Philly brisket wrap is just,
check that out for
that, like literally, like that's pretty much maybe not every time, but. Three out of four times I'm getting the Philly brisket.
It's your go-to.
I like brisket, but it's like I've never had it at Central.
It's got to be lean.
Central,
man,
there's too many
fatty,
other options in the barbecue range that I'm like, I can't pass up those for brisket there. I'm not like, because I'm not a huge brisket fan, but I like brisket. And like at, but yeah, the brisket wrap at Elwood's is just top notch.
If you want to lose some money, you can get 80-1 odds if you want to bet. At Bet Online on LeBron James coming to play for the Grizzlies next year. 80-1. Of course, we'd have to build a couple of nice hotels, and I don't think we can get that done in time for LeBron next year.
The Grizzlies are the favorites on the betting line to be the next team of Jakob Poeltl's.
Really?
Hey, you need a big.
Well,
speaking of that, have you ever had Poeltl's chicken? No, I'm kidding.
It's a horrendous contract.
You're right.
At the Grizzlies. And I assume they're looking at that as a possibility of a way to get rid of Ja, is that you take on a horrendous contract.
Anytime I think of him, I think about the night Ja went for 52 and dunked on him.
Yeah.
Well, if they took on Poeltl with, what, 1 year left?
I don't even know how many.
You're bringing in another big. We've been talking about they need a big. You don't the uncertainty of Edie. But if you're taking Boozer in the draft and you get Boozer and you bring in Poeltl and you have Edie, I guess you can't have enough bigs. I don't know.
Poeltl would not be coming here to.
Oh, it would just
to
be
play.
Oh, he wouldn't play.
It would just be they're unloading his contract.
Well, I'm confused there. So if he's unloading the contract, you're taking on the money. You're taking on the, let's say he's owed $25 million. You're paying that
Poeltl's contract goes through 29-30.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a horrendous contract.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I thought it was like a one-year deal, and you had him in maybe for a year.
$20 million dude right there.
All right.
Yeah, so he'll be making, the last year is not fully guaranteed, but at 28-29, he's making $30 million, essentially. Like, it is a terrible, terrible contract. He couldn't even get on the court. And what he did in the playoffs, he was horrendous.
Switching gears, Lane Kiffin has a big Vanity Fair article about him, talking about a number of different topics. On the reasons why he left Ole Miss for LSU, one of the reasons, he said top recruits would tell him, and these are of color, you know, I'm sure there's not white guys. He said top recruits would tell him, hey, coach, we really like you, but my grandparents aren't letting me move to Oxford, Mississippi. That doesn't come up when you say Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Parents were sitting here this past weekend, I guess, or 2 weekends ago, saying the campus's diversity feels so great. It feels like there's no segregation. So how do we take that with Kiffin? I mean, it didn't seem like he had an issue being able to bring in top-tier players for Ole Miss.
He recruited quite well.
I mean, sure, maybe a player or two had reservations because of family members, older family members. I guess that's a possibility, but it's not like he was hurting in the recruiting industry. And then also, money speaks louder than anything right now. So if you're dishing out and doling out the right money, I think players are going to still come no matter what. But I think that's I don't know, that's like a cop-out answer. I mean, so Baton Rouge, been down to Louisiana, been down to Baton Rouge. I don't know about the diversity on campus. I assume like every campus there's diversity, minus maybe the historically black colleges and universities where it's predominantly black. But I mean, I think most colleges for the most part have more diversity than they ever have. And I mean, we're talking about LA, we're talking about Louisiana here. We're not talking about Ohio or Maine or Vermont. I mean, I would think that there's still issues down there as well when it comes to the issue of prejudice. But I why he brought that up is going to only ruffle more feathers when they play in Oxford. If you can even get a ticket now, get your ticket. But get your popcorn ready when you're watching it on television. I can't even imagine, after all the good he did in Oxford with the Rebels and the run they made, and they're feeling good right now about Pete Golding. They're feeling good about continuing this, and they should feel good about it. But the guy could have left a lot better than he did, and now to just continue to make it worse with things that he's saying, unfortunately, will eliminate, for the most part, in the minds of everybody that went to Ole Miss and followed the Rebels football team, that there's going to be no love for the guy. Instead of him being welcomed back, he did great things for Ole Miss, turned around a average to maybe a little bit above average program and made them a national championship caliber type team, should be applauded. He is going to be booed mercilessly. It's going to be ugly when he comes to Oxford this fall.
Yeah, I mean, it was already going to be ugly. It just keeps getting uglier. It's such a – the problem – like, this is an easy thing to say about Ole Miss because of the history of and everything, you know, the Confederate flag, all of those things. I mean, it's just the easy little shot to take at Ole Miss. And at no point when he was there did he seem to have any issues with this.
Right.
They recruited at a level they've never recruited at, probably. Never complained about anything that I know of in this realm. It's just taking the easy shot at a conference rival school, basically, to just kind of put that out there of, and it's just, I don't know. And the funny thing is the reporter said, like, that he said, like, I don't want this to sound like a shot at Ole Miss.
It's It's an absolute shot.
But then
shot.
Basically repeated the same thing over again. So, like, I don't know what your
shot across the bow.
I don't know what you, I don't know how they're supposed to take it, Lane. I'm not sure what you. I don't think they're supposed to take this as a compliment. I don't know. Like, it is. Again, there's obviously yes. Are the looks of the towns different? Very much so. That there's not a question about that. Those two towns look very, very different from each other. But this is just an easy thing to say because of the history of Ole Miss to use that, try and use that against them. But when most of the stuff, you know, again, the Confederate flags, that's way in the history. Colonel Reb, all that stuff has been gone for quite some time now. I don't know why you felt the need to go there now.
If he doesn't get the offer from LSU, he's in Oxford and probably in Oxford for quite some time. And probably not saying, I mean, I'd almost guarantee not saying anything about this because it would only hurt the team in recruiting. I'm sure it happened. Maybe, like I said, maybe there was a player or two. But the way this article is written, it seems like it was just a plethora of players coming in and saying, nope, can't go, can't go, can't go, can't go. They got some great players and will continue to get great players.
So, I'm sure there are, certainly, as he said, grandparents, there are out there that would probably, yes, say, like, Ole Miss is not the place for our grandson or whatever.
Now,
there's just no need for him to.
No, I don't know why it was,
make this
bring that
comment.
Up.
Bring this up now. Everybody right. knows the history. It's that's not a question. Again, it didn't bother him. He took a whole bunch of money from that university. he got paid a ton of money from that university and didn't have a problem with it then. And I just don't see. And then made more money because of what he did at that university and how he recruited at that university, got this fat old payday at LSU. I just don't see why you got to go back and then take a shot about the history of Ole Miss.
Yeah, and you're right. It's different, a little bit different in Baton Rouge and Louisiana, but there's still, if you don't think there's racism, I mean, everywhere, but especially in the South compared to, again, if you comparing it to like, Maine, I mean, Lily
White. Baton Rouge is over 50% black. Like, it's, and Oxford is nowhere near 50% black. Like, again, the two cities look very different. Like, there's no doubt about that. They're very different. But, again, there's just no reason for him at this point to bring that stuff up.
Right. Well, Ole Miss took another shot. This one from Steve Sarkisian. This comes from Matt Hayes. Quote, this is from Steve Sarkisian on Ole Miss's transfer portal practices and academic standards. Again, this is from Sarkisian, head coach at Texas. At Texas, we will only take 50% of a player's academic credit hours. You may be a semester from graduating, but you're going all the way back to 50% if you play here and want a degree. But at Ole Miss, they can take you. All you have to do is take basket weaving, and you can get an Ole Miss degree. What is going on, man? Pow, pow, pow. Upper deck, pow, against Ole Miss today, powing on the Rebels.
You can get a basket weaving degree at all of these universities.
I'm sure Texas,
somehow. I'm sure Texas is rejecting a bunch of five-star athletes. Texas,
right.
Like, no, we can't do it. You're just not there for us academically. Yeah, right. Shut up, Steve.
I mean, where did that come from? Poor Golding, man. They're putting Golding into a spot. He's recruiting recruiting great, and now you go there. You can't go there because of racism.
First of all,
you
don't
can't
know.
Go there because academic. I mean, you go there because of the basket weaving.
All these teams, like, with the transfer portal the way it is, I don't understand how anybody gets into any, like, when you're on your fourth school in 4 years and everything else. I don't get it. I don't understand it. They're doing APR rates and stuff like that. I don't even understand that. But I'm telling you right now, there aren't many schools, if any, out there that are at the level that Texas is, who are rejecting the top football players in the nation because of academics.
By the way, we'll have Charles Huff on Thursday, the head football coach at the University of Memphis. But I think about these guys, especially in this day and age, like you said, like They're transferring all the time. They're doing online stuff. Are they, you know, really? They're going to, they're not going to class. Are they physically going to actual class? I still go back to old Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they brought Jefferson, played by Forrest Whitaker, and they said, I thought they flew him in for the games. Yeah, he's going to class? He's going to class? Flew him in for the games, yeah. But they maybe flew in some of these players for the games. I guess somehow, some way, they're going to class still. Folks, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on, one-on-one expert coaching. In Cordova, the 50,000-square-foot facility, it's unreal. If you haven't been there, they got two NBA regulation-size courts, two of them, three high school-size courts, four shooting bays with Shoot 360 technology. The original in Collierville also has the shooting bays, and that's really where you want to go, in my opinion, because it's all about becoming a better shooter at Shoot 360 Memphis. It's in the name. You get into these bays, you get the analytical feedback every time you put up a shot, and obviously repetition. The more times you get up shots, the proper ways to shoot, the more times you do it, you're going to become a better shooter. It's just, it's going to come with repetition, but it's also going to come with the coaching you get, the one-on-one expert coaching, which they have been, the guys over there have been at every level. From high school, they've coached college, they've even coached in the NBA, and you can join on a monthly basis. You can't beat that. Try it out for a month. If you don't like it, just move on. I'm sure you're going to love it, but if not, you're only in for a month. And it makes a great graduation gift or a birthday present, a membership to Shoot 360 Memphis. For more information, to take a tour of the facilities, call them in Cordova at 901-779-3176 or stop by Big Orange Road. That's where they are located in Cordova. In Collierville, they're at 85 Market Street, 901-316-5500. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever. Woo!
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Oh, by the way, SEC meetings in Destin begin in 2 weeks. That'll be lively. And another point about what Sarkisian said, basket weaving, I guarantee I can't weave a basket. It's harder than you think. So it's not some gimme just because you go to classes. I'll tell you that much.
A couple of texts here. One texter says, what's going on is the truth. You just don't want to hear it. And you're out of your mind if you think all the history is actually history. I live around a whole bunch of Ole Miss fans. It hasn't stopped. And I'm aware of many things that happened down on that campus. Yeah, I understand there are still things that go on the Ole Miss campus.
Sure.
Just like there are things that go on campuses all around America, racial things that happen. We're not perfect in this country. We're not fully past all those issues, that's for sure. And yes, Oxford, what I'm talking about is the whole Confederate flag thing, the Colonel Rep, all those things that where it was glaring at Ole Miss are gone. Those thing. Now, again, you'll see people dressed up as Colonel Reb, whatever, but like the actual mascot, all of those things. My thing is, I don't know why Lane has to do this now when, again, what was Lane, when he was there on the campus for however many years he was there, was he really putting a lot of effort into trying to fix these issues, or was he just accepting the money, recruiting his players, winning games to get out of town?
Yeah, but the school has taken steps, as you pointed out in our last segment. They've taken steps over the last probably 20 years. No, it's not perfect. But I guarantee you there's some form of racism with players that play at LSU and racism everywhere, not only in the South. It's a lot less, I think. And yes, as the texter pointed out, there's still, yeah, sure, there's still those students that come into the football games, and like you said, they're dressed as Colonel Reb and all that crap, but, you know, the school has taken the steps, and that's the most important thing. You can't You can't control every nitwit out there, every person that wants to do whatever and add to the fuel to the fire of the past. The past is never forgotten. But look at the players they're getting. I guarantee you that most of those players that came in here didn't even talk about that. And if they did, they still decided that Ole Miss was the place for them. We hear players that have played at Ole Miss talk glowingly about that. So, again, to bring it up in that article serves no freaking purpose. And it could hurt Golding and recruiting, possibly. Was that his intent to do so? Or is he just ignorant to the fact of why bring that up? And then, again, knucklehead Sarkisian adding fuel to the fire with a different topic, but trying to pile on Ole Miss. I don't get it. I don't understand why people say what they say when they don't have to. Nobody prompted Sarkisian to say that. Nobody prompted Lane Kiffin to say what he said.
Raider Corey says, I know this isn't a political show, but thank goodness. There are some parents or grandparents who are saying no to certain schools now. Why do they want said son or daughter in states or cities where they only desire him or her for their athletic ability while laws and regulations are being implemented to hurt said families? Yeah, again, I'm sure this goes on. I'm sure it goes on at places other than Ole Miss. Yeah, I don't doubt that at all, that this actually goes on at places and that they look at certain places that way. Again, it's not like Ole Miss is the only one. I'm sure that this has happened at or to, and I just don't. If Lane would have said it while he was there, if he would have came out and talked about this being an issue, like I'd have more like, okay, that, like, if you want, like, this is something we need to do something about. This is the image we have. Like, we have to be better, whatever. But to go to LSU and then take the shot back at Ole Miss just seems unnecessary.
Yeah, but he's not going to bring that up while he's the coach, because even though they may have lost out on a few players, they could possibly lose out on more if he makes this public. We know the history. We know that certainly there's going to be families that want nothing to do with certain places. Or there's people that don't want to be in certain states because of tax laws and things of that nature. Or because of politics that they leave a certain state. These things happen all the time. But he's not going to say that. There was no reason for him to say it now other than hurt his former school. To make it more, you're trying to get away from all of that stuff and hope that it continues to drop. I'm talking about racism, and continue to go down and go down and go down until hopefully there never is any. But there's always going to be some people that stick to the past, and other people who, rightly so, don't want anything to do with the school because of their past. That's maybe the grandparents of players, as said in this article. But to bring it up in this article, what purpose does it serve? And again, Golding gets hurt by this. The recruiters of Ole Miss football and Ole Miss athletics gets hurt by this. And then there's the parents and the grandparents who really care about the academics. And now they look at, what's this quote about? What the hell's going on here with Ole Miss? Anybody can walk in here and get a basket weaving? Come on, man. What are you doing, Sark? So, I don't know. It's just a bunch of bombs being dropped, unfortunately, on Oxford with these comments that are made. From the NFL, they have their slow schedule reveal all week long. It actually started, I think, last week, maybe even a couple of weeks ago when they announced some of those foreign games. But they did announce today, this morning, that the Chiefs and the Broncos will play in the first Monday night football game of the season. That'll be on September 14th. It'll be a 7 Central kickoff against Chiefs and Broncos. Sad news from the NFL. Craig Morton has passed away at the age of 83. Quarterback for the Broncos, quarterback for your Cowboys for many years, very good quarterback in the National Football League, and a former PGA golfer, not a real known PGA golfer, but won 8 tournaments. Jim Colbert also passed away over the last couple of days. Memphis Tigers pitcher Seth Gardner, we talked to Matt Reiser yesterday. He was in studio with us, as he is every Monday during the baseball season. He was named the American Conference Pitcher of the Week, and Brady McAbee was an honorable mention for Player of the Week. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, it's hour number 3. We open up talking golf with Mickey Barker. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.